I'm reading from the NIV Bible, and the verses that are up on the screen there. And we begin with verse 28. And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins, and in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin, because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning, because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. And we look forward to Peter bringing his words of wisdom on that reading. Thanks.
Good morning, everyone. So if you're a visitor here today, welcome. My name's Peter. I'm the early church pastor, and it's a real joy to be able to open up God's word this morning with you. And I'm wondering how you're finding the series, this series in 1 John. Are you enjoying reading John? He's certainly a different character, isn't he, John? And when it comes to John, like, I've got mixed feelings about him. On the one hand, I love him. He's so creative, and he uses this big language that looks, just sort of like, lifts your eyes up, look at the glory and how awesome God is. But on the other hand, he really drives me crazy, because he doesn't think in a straight line. It's not sort of logical steps for John. He seems to be all over the place, but he actually goes in spirals, visiting the same topic over and over again, which makes it really difficult for a linear scientific thinker like me. Anyway, before I pray, I just want you to remind you why John wrote this letter. He actually tells us in chapter 5. He says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. This letter is a letter of reassurance of how we can know we have eternal life. And if that's your question today, or you need your faith reassured, then you are in the right place. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we come now to open your word, and we just like to recognize right now that we need your spirit to help us understand it. This is a living and breathing word. This is a word that reveals to us what you are like, reveals to us what we are like. And so, Father, it is our great prayer. We invite you, Holy Spirit, to help us to understand what you have to say to us today. And that, Father, it would apply to our lives in a way that makes us more into the people that you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I know I've shown this photo before, but you may not have seen it in 1030 Church. I use it for a kids' talk in early church. This photo is a photo of me and my grandpop, taken at about the same age. And every time I look at these two photos together, it sends a little shiver down my spine, and how much it just seems like I look like my grandpop. It's amazing how people in the same family look the same. But the likeness doesn't stop there. People in the same family tend to act the same as well. As a dad, there's times my kids do something And I realize that they are acting just like me. Now, most of these things are good things, but some of these things are bad things, things I wish they hadn't picked up from me. They probably got them from Kylie. How my kids behave, whether I like it or not, reflects our whole family, our values, our beliefs, what we stand for. There's times when our children act in ways that does indeed reflect our family values. There's times when they're loving and we hold each other together like this. And there are other times when our children do not act in the ways that reflect our family values. Drinking that poisonous can of Coke, my son braiding his hair, the humility of my two boys, there's sometimes they do not reflect the values that we thought we taught them. As my kids get older, they become adults, I'm less responsible for their decisions. They're no longer children, but adults making their own decisions. It's up to them whether or not they decide to behave and make decisions that reflect our family values. But they'll always be family, and their decisions, good or bad, will continue to say something about our family. And it's painful when you see your kids make choices that go completely against what your family stands for. Well, our Bible talk today is the fourth in our series, and it's called Family Likeness, because our passage is all about whether our family likeness as Christians lines up with the values and character of our Father God. Do our lives truly reflect God's Son, Jesus? Well, the first thing we see in the passage, the first thing that reflects a family likeness of someone in God's family is that we do right because God is righteous. Have a look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. Please leave your Bibles open and read along as we go. It says, "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who does what is right has been born of him." See, if you're convinced Jesus is right and righteous, then you'll want to practice the same as what John's saying here. This is a sign that you're truly one of God's children. Pursuing righteousness, motivated by the fact that Jesus is righteous, is a key family likeness for everyone in God's family. This is how we can be confident and look forward to Jesus returning. This is how we can avoid being red-faced, ashamed when Jesus asks us to give an account of our lives. Now, this seems pretty obvious, perhaps, but it's amazing how people can claim to be Christian in one breath and then the other deny any real involvement in Christ's family. Hey, I'm a Christian, but I don't spend time with others in God's family. I don't go to church, don't read my Bible. In fact, following Jesus makes no real difference in the way I live my life at all. What John is saying here is a key family likeness is that you'll pursue righteousness in your life because that's what Jesus is like. If you're not doing that, then you simply can't claim to be in his family. Now, when we hear the word righteousness, what do you think? What pops into your head? It's because righteousness is actually talking about a relationship. When we describe someone today as acting all righteous, it's usually a negative term. That someone's acting all high and mighty, better than me. But the righteousness here is all about a relationship with God being made right. A relationship restored. And it's a result of a relationship restored that we're motivated to then do what's right. Which is really quite incredible, that idea that we might have a relationship with God. It's kind of like John gets struck by just how awesome this is. So caught up that little creatures, children like us, can actually be in a relationship with the Creator God who made the universe. He can't help himself but take a break from talking about righteousness to talk about just how loving God is, that God loves us as his children. In chapter 3, verses 1 to 3, John says this. He says, God's love towards us, it's not a past complete love, like done away with, but it's a continuing, ongoing love. God's love, it isn't puppy love. John says here, see, behold, what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. It's lavish. God the Father showers his love upon us through his Son. It's because of God's love that we can be called his children. It's because of God's love that we're reborn into God's family. It seems incredulous, but that is what you are. Exclamation mark. In fact, really knowing God and being his children makes us almost unrecognizable by the rest of the world who know him. Oh, sorry, who don't know him. It says in verse 1, the reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Knowing God and how much he loves, that he'd sacrifice his own son for his children, seems to obscure our identity to the world. It's like that type of love is just too good to be true. So the world doesn't acknowledge this crazy idea that we could actually be children of God. It doesn't compute. John then goes on to explain, verse 2, the full reality of what it's going to be like when Jesus returns. We can't fully kind of comprehend that either. It has yet to be made known or revealed to us. Now, Paul picks up the same idea. He says in Romans 8, that the creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 as well, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Suffice to say, what we do know is this, that we'll be like Jesus. So we'll be free of sin. We'll have new resurrected bodies. Our loves will be holy and pure loves, and we will be free to pursue God as the ultimate thing worth living for. So now, while we're limited right now, we can start that kind of journey now. Look at verse 3. All who have this hope in him purify themselves just as he is pure. We work on purifying our thoughts, our speech, our actions because Jesus is pure. Throughout this passage, John keeps talking about a family likeness that can be seen now but won't be fully seen until Jesus returns. Now back in verse 28, he says, "Now dear children, continue in him." That's talking about how we live now. And he says that when he appears at his coming, which is talking about judgment day, living with Jesus in heaven, there is this now and not yetness of our family likeness. Now, I know some of the English teachers will be balking at that, but it's a new word, now and not yetness. We show Jesus in our lives now, recognizing that what we have is but a pale, though important and essential, but a pale shadow of what is going to be fully revealed in us in heaven. So practically, don't lose heart. It's so easy to be down on ourselves, despondent that we're not more like Jesus. I need to preach this to myself. That's kind of okay, though, because that day soon comes. In the meantime, we're works in progress. We're construction sites of righteousness. We're doing our best in the Spirit. We're on a journey towards heaven. So what's happening here? Verses 1 to 3, basically John's celebrating the fact that we really are children of God. We still struggle with sin in our lives. The full experience of that is yet to come, but we really are children of God. In verses 4 to 10, the next part, it's like John recovers from his outburst of joy and recognizes, oh, that's right, I was talking about this. And he gets back into the topic of our family likeness. In verses 4 to 6, John points out that that true children of God hate sin in their lives. It says, everyone who sins, pop it up there, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. See, it's our sin that broke our relationship with God. It's all of those times you made life about you, your goals, your advancement, that cut us off from God in the first place. We rejected God's law that showed us how we might live as he intended. Instead, we chose lawlessness. This is kind of what the basis of sin, this idea that we can live without God in our lives. But God stepped in. And this is the good news. The righteousness we have with God, our relationship was made right, is possible because Jesus came and took away our sin. The one without sin, Jesus, took the punishment on behalf of sinners like you and me. Now, this doesn't happen automatically. It's something you need to ask for, and maybe you haven't made this step in your life yet. But God's love is so lavish that he has sacrificed his own son to make it possible for you to know him. So, for a Christian, habitual sin is not okay. You just can't call yourself a Christian and have no interest at all in dealing with ongoing sin in your life. It's one of the great signs that you're in God's family. I guess the question we need to ask is how are you going in this area? I reckon asking this sort of question is painful. In fact, I reckon this gets more painful the longer you're a Christian. Now, I was saved when I was 21. I'm now 46, so I've been born again for 25 years now. And for me, it feels like the first 15 years were a honeymoon compared to the last 10. You see, as time goes on, I've discovered you've kind of dealt with all the superficial stuff. The longer you've been in the faith, the deeper is the sin that you need to deal with. The sin I'm dealing with in my life now, it's character stuff. It's rooting out all the little ways that I still don't find my identity, my security, my assurance in Jesus. This is a continuous journey that we all travel deeper and deeper, I reckon, into Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, if you're not dealing with ongoing sin in your life, then I've got to ask, are you genuine? The US Treasury Department, they actually have a special team of people whose job is to track down counterfeiters. Naturally, they're very good at recognizing counterfeit money. Do you know how they train to recognize fakes? Oddly, they don't spend hours studying counterfeit notes. Rather, they spend hours studying the real thing. They become so familiar with what's authentic that they can spot a counterfeit by simply looking at it, simply feeling it. You know, genuine children of God know Jesus came to take their sin away, so they hate the sin in their life, and they're constantly working at removing it. A genuine child of God hates the sin in their lives. Finally, in verses 7 to 10, the last few verses of the section here, John returns back to where he started. Now, this is John in one of his spirals back to the topic he started at the end of chapter 2. He says that we do right because Jesus is righteous. The source of righteousness is God. On the other hand, the source of sin is the devil. You just can't be born of God and continual habitual sin, is what he's saying again. Hating sin in your life is a sign that you belong to God. God's seed it talks about here, the Holy Spirit that takes up residence in your body. God's word planted in your heart takes root and bears the fruit of righteousness. There's really strong language here. And have a look at verse 10 in there. You're either a child of God or a child of the devil. There's only two choices. If you're a child of God, then your fellow Christians are your brothers and sisters. And a practical outworking of that is that you'll love them as such. It's by this that all men shall know that you are my disciples, that you love one another. Have you ever heard of the word doppelganger? It's a German word. You ever heard it before? Doppelganger. It literally means double goer. Your doppelganger is someone who's a lookalike, your double. And there are websites you can go to help you find your doppelganger. For just $3.95 US, you can have your photo available for 6 months on a website with others searching for their doppelganger. Doppelgangers were a real hit on Facebook for a little while there. I found a website called Find My Doppelganger. And this one was free, so I thought I'd give it a go. Posted my a photo, and this is the result. What do you think? Yeah, I was a bit disappointed too. But I've discovered that maybe this result for me isn't too bad. Because it looks like Ben Tarrant, he's looked up his doppelganger and put it on his Facebook profile. This was his result. Now, I actually now think my result wasn't that bad. There is actually a lot of mythology behind the idea of a doppelganger. It was thought that to meet your doppelganger means you're about to meet death. There are other myths that your doppelganger is your evil twin, your alter ego. That could certainly be the case for Ben's. You know, Freud was the first scientist that actually he used this idea of a doppelganger to help people understand their inner self. Imagine what's your kind of inner doppelganger. What does it say about you? You know, what does your inner self reveal about you? If your doppelganger reflected what you really thought about Jesus, if your imaginary doppelganger somehow portrayed what your eternal body is going, what would you like it? Would Jesus like it? What family likeness would it show? Your inner self. What's the true source of your assurance, your security, your identity? What do you really live for? Is it authentically based on Jesus? Now, the family likeness we all need is one where we're pursuing righteousness in our lives, pursuing Jesus, becoming deep lovers of Jesus. If we're people in love with Jesus, then thoughts of Jesus permeate all we do, motivates us to orientate our life to be doing what's best for the one that we love, which is Jesus. Because Jesus is righteousness. Those born of him will do what's right. This is how we know we're in God's family. We have a family likeness, a likeness that portrays the values of God's family, a likeness that reflects God's character, doing what's right, doing away with sin. Let me pray. Father God, this passage is full with such wonderful hope for us to understand how much God has lavishly loved us, that we might be called children of God, to understand that that is what we are right now, that each and every one of us who have been born of Jesus, forgiven of our sin, that we are called right now children of God. We thank you for the way in which you, Lord Jesus, have shown how we are to live. And we pray, Lord, as we because you, Lord Jesus, are righteous, we too might seek to be righteous in the way in which we live our lives, not out of a false sort of piety, but out of a desire to reflect your love and your glory to this world. And Father God, as we do that, living out this family likeness of Jesus in the world today, help us to remember that we experience the fullness and love of God in a way that is now and not yet. We only experience a poor shadow of what it's going to be like in heaven when we get our new bodies. In the meantime, Lord, help us to keep trusting you, loving each other as brothers and sisters, and seeking to follow you and orientating our lives the way that you would have us live. In Jesus' name, amen.